Chapter 19 Evaluating Markets and Market Segments Representative Samples, Data, Information, and Demographics. A Consumer-Based Marketing Philosophy. Satisfying the needs of the consumer. Evaluating a market or a market segment involves measuring consumer needs, responses, interests, and any other factor that relates to selling a product. Extensive use of this perspective, especially when it is focused on the needs of the consumer, is a marketing philosophy that many successful companies utilize. That is, instead of focusing on what the company can do, the focus is on what the consumers want and need. For example, a company may be able to manufacture a television set with many new features, which will increase the price of the product. From the perspective of a consumer-based marketing philosophy, the objective would be to determine what features the consumers want and need in their television sets. This might suggest that some planned feature should be eliminated, and some new feature should be added to the television set designed to satisfy the needs and desires of the consumer. The evaluation methods discussed in this chapter are primarily techniques of determining what consumers need and want, as well as their behavioral and emotional responses to products. There are many methods of evaluating consumers' needs in the market for a product. None of the methods are perfect, because marketing is a social science that deals with the complex thinking and behavior of human beings. However, the less-than-perfect methods of evaluating markets and market segments can be reasonably accurate and quite useful, especially if they are properly carried out. Evaluating markets and market segments. Periodic assessment of a market or market segment. Introduction. Methods of evaluating periodic assessment of a market or market segment involves one or more evaluations that are not carried out continuously. It can involve any method that can be used to obtain data from consumers and potential consumers in relation to a product, a business, or an advertisement. The evaluations are often done with questionnaires, interviews, focus groups, and test marketing. There are many variations of these methods. Questionnaires are the simplest technique of obtaining data from consumers. This can consist of a series of questions about a product, a business, or even an advertisement. It can involve rating scales of various types. There are many ways that questionnaires can be designed. This can range from a very simple layout to a highly complex set of questions. A few examples of questions and rating scales that can appear on questionnaires are presented below. Rate this product on a scale from 1 to 10. 1 do not like the product, 2, 10 like the product very much and I definitely will buy it. Do you agree, disagree, or strongly disagree with the following statements about product X? Product 10 is very useful. Product 10 saves me time. I like product X very much, and I will continue to buy it. A multiple-choice method involves a series of questions where the consumer checks one phrase, such as, this product is very useful, somewhat useful, or useless for me. This product is priced low, moderate, or excessively high. Structured and unstructured interviews. There are many types of interviews that can be used to make evaluations about a product. One type is the highly structured interview. This involves a set of predetermined questions that the interviewer asks. The questions in a highly structured interview may have simple answers, such as yes, no, I'm not sure. This type of interview is similar to a questionnaire. The interviewer might actually fill out a questionnaire based on the answers provided by the interviewee. At the other extreme, there is the highly unstructured interview. The interviewer might have a few general questions to start the conversation, but he will create questions that are appropriate to the conversation. With this type of interview, the interviewer may take notes, in an attempt to sum up the feelings and attitude of the consumer, in relation to the product. Many types of marketing interviews fall between the two extremes described above. They may consist of some structured questions with yes-no answers, coupled with unstructured questions. The highly structured interview might appear more scientific. However, in many situations it will provide much less data than a less structured interview. With a highly structured interview, the data is limited by the predetermined questions. For example, if the interviewer asks the consumer, "Do you think you will buy product Y in the near future?" The answer may be yes or no. With the unstructured interview, the question may be, "What do you think of product Y? Do you think you will buy it?" This can provide more data, because the answer can be conditional, such as if it was a little less expensive, or if they sold the product in a smaller box. However, unstructured interviews can be very difficult to evaluate and extract useful data. Generally, a computer cannot evaluate the unstructured interview. This is one of the major disadvantages of this type of interview. One of the major advantages of the highly structured interview is it can be assessed by a computer if the interviewer placed the consumer's answers on a questionnaire. Psychological evaluations in relation to marketing. A psychological evaluation of consumers is another marketing assessment method. In some cases, evaluations of this type are not even focused on a product or company. The goal may be just to obtain various psychological data that can be used to create more effective advertisements, or to design products and their packaging so they will sell in larger quantities. Sometimes data and related conclusions of this type may be of questionable value for marketing. However, psychological assessments can also be highly focused on a product, a product line, or a company, which might provide more useful data for marketing. Psychological assessments are generally conducted by a psychologist, or perhaps a counselor or interviewer that has formal expertise in psychology. The psychological assessment will usually involve assessments of emotional responses, as well as evaluations of statements made by the consumer. For example, if a psychologist were evaluating mouthwash with this technique, she might evaluate the needs and concerns that the consumer has about bad breath. This can be useful in creating advertisements. In addition, the psychologist may evaluate the verbal and emotional responses to the mouthwash itself. This can involve the way the consumer looks at the bottle, holds it, as well as the way the consumer responds to the taste of the mouthwash. Does the consumer spit out the mouthwash immediately, such as because of bad taste or burning sensations? Or, does the consumer leave the mouthwash in her mouth for a while, before spitting it out? Does the consumer appear to like the taste of the mouthwash? The psychologist may essentially use two methods. One is to ask questions, and listen, and the other is to observe responses. With the above example, the psychologist may try to determine if the consumer likes the mouthwash based on behavior and emotional responses. This may be coupled with questions about the taste and suitability of the mouthwash. The idea is verbal responses do not always coincide with emotional and behavioral responses to a product, a company, or to anything else. The disadvantage to psychological assessments to obtain marketing data is the limited number of consumers that can be evaluated. Psychological assessments are generally time-consuming. The professionals needed for psychological assessments are expensive. There is no reason to believe that psychological assessments for marketing is any better than any other method. It may be inferior to other methods in many cases because of the small number of consumers that can be evaluated. Perhaps, if a large enough sample of consumers could be evaluated, psychological assessment might produce superior data for marketing. Which said, should you survey a representative sample of the market, or a representative sample of the population? A difficulty with questionnaires, interviews, focus groups, and similar techniques is whom do you survey? It is very easy to make the mistake of surveying a representative sample of the population. This is done in scientific surveys to obtain information about a population, such as to obtain cultural, social, or demographic data. This is not necessarily the way to obtain useful information about a market or market segment. For example, if you are selling oil well drilling equipment, a representative sample of the population of the United States does not relate to your market. You have to survey people that are likely to buy oil well drilling equipment, or individuals who make purchasing decisions when their organization buys such equipment. This applies to many products, but perhaps not to the same degree as the above example. The idea here is to determine what segments of the population might purchase your product or a similar product from a competitor. Very often, but not always, you can use common sense to solve this problem, which can be seen in the following examples. If you are selling farm machinery, you survey a representative sample of farmers. If you are selling camping equipment, you survey a representative sample of people that go camping. If you are selling high-quality handmade furniture that is very expensive, you will survey wealthy people that are likely to purchase such furniture. If you are selling very inexpensive furniture made of cardboard, you will survey individuals who have relatively low incomes. However, if you were selling toilet paper or soap, it would make sense to survey a representative sample of the entire United States. With the last example, we are dealing with products that most people use in the United States, and in this case, the entire population is a market. The idea to keep in mind is to survey a representative sample of your market, not a representative sample of the population. All of the above also applies to focus groups. Generally, focus groups should consist of a group of people that are a representative sample of the market. Focus groups are discussed in more detail under the following subheading. Assessments with focus groups. A focus group is essentially a discussion group with a facilitator who guides the discussion about a product. Focus groups usually consist of 5 to 10 people that are an approximate representative sample of the market, and a professional facilitator. The facilitator usually starts the conversation about a product with a few open-ended questions. This is done with the objective of starting a group discussion about the product. The session usually lasts for 1 or 2 hours, but it could last longer. There are many variations of the concept of a focus group, some of which might differ significantly from the general description given above. A focus group can be more or less similar to a psychological assessment, which was discussed above. That is, the facilitator of a focus group might document and evaluate the emotional and behavioral responses, as well as the verbal statements made by the participants. The advantage of the focus group is it can provide a large quantity of data. This includes attitudes and emotional responses towards a product. If there is anything that is offensive about a product, a label or an advertisement, it might be revealed in a focus group. If there are any pleasant associations with a product, label, or advertisement, it also may be revealed in the focus group. The focus group can indicate how a product and its labeling and advertising can be improved. There are, of course, some disadvantages to focus groups. Generally, it is impossible to obtain a true representative sample of a market with 5 or 10 people. The individuals that participate in a focus group may be atypical. Of course, it is possible to have a number of focus groups, perhaps run by different facilitators, which might increase the accuracy of the results, but this can be expensive and time-consuming. The facilitator, as well as some of the more influential members of the focus group itself, might influence the other members of the group. All of this could result in data that is unique to the focus group, and does not represent the way the average consumer will respond to a product, label or advertisement. However, this problem can be significantly reduced by running a number of focus groups, dealing with the same issue, but with different facilitators and participants. A simplified version of a focus group for a small business? Formal focus groups, as carried out by large organizations, are usually carefully planned, and are led by professional facilitators. The results might be analyzed by experienced market experts and statisticians. This is, of course, quite expensive, and far too difficult for a small business. I am using the term small business here to refer to businesses that have less than 12 employees. Thus, focus groups are generally not used by small businesses. In spite of the above, a simpler version of a focus group might be quite economical and feasible for a small business. For example, a business owner can gather together a few of his customers and have a discussion with them. This can be done in a home, a rented facility, or in the owner's business facilities. The owner can act as the facilitator. To induce customers to attend the group, the owner can provide refreshments and perhaps a party-like atmosphere. He can also provide some discounts on purchases for people that attend the focus group. This type of focus group will generally cost very little or nothing. The data obtained from such a focus group might be very valid and useful, because this small business involves a relatively small number of customers. This means that 10 people might represent a significant sample of the customers. Another valuable advantage to this type of focus group is it will probably strengthen the relationship between the business owner and his customers. In general, this type of focus group will be effective for any type of business or organization that has relatively few customers. An even simpler and informal version of the focus group could involve an informal conversation with a group of customers at the business establishment. In the simplest form, this can simply involve starting conversations with customers that are focused on products and services. Discussions of this type can sometimes develop into an informal group discussion. Testing a product by giving away free samples. This method simply involves giving away free samples of a product, and asking the recipients whether or not they like the product. This method is especially useful with food, because it can be evaluated, in a few seconds, by tasting the sample, and the samples of food are usually inexpensive. Free samples with other products can take much more time for an evaluation. For example, a new brand of laundry detergent would require the consumer to wash one or two bundle of clothes to make evaluation. However, with inexpensive household items like laundry detergent, the method is still feasible. This method is of course not useful for expensive items such as electronic equipment or furniture. Test marketing is generally used to evaluate the marketability of a new product. Test marketing can also be used to evaluate the marketability of an established product in a new locality. It involves selecting one or more localities that are believed to be representative of a larger market, such as the entire United States. This may involve one or more cities that contain a population that are typical of the population in the nation as a whole. The product to be test marketed is sold, and perhaps advertised, in the designated locality or localities. If the product is sold in adequate quantities in the test locality or localities, production is expanded and the product is sold in a larger market area, such as throughout the United States. Test marketing has many advantages over the other techniques that were previously discussed. In a sense, it is an experiment to determine the level of marketability of a product. One of the difficulties with test marketing is to find localities that are truly representative of the entire market. It is very easy to make the error of choosing atypical cities, towns and neighborhoods, where the product will sell very well, for a test market. This will provide overly optimistic results, which probably will not relate to the larger market area. Just the opposite can sometimes also happen. Thus, the very purpose of test marketing can be defeated by the wrong choice of test market localities. Websites on market evaluations and related concepts. Search phrase with Google Market Surveys www.google.com web link. HL equals NNQ equals market plus surveys and BTNG equals Google plus search. This website consists of one or more search pages, with many links to other websites. If you do not find what you want on this website, you can change the search phrase that will appear in a dialog box, after you click on the above web address. After changing the search phrase, press the Enter key, and you will see a different set of websites. www.infoserve.com web link. Words on website. The trusted market research company for corporations and government organizations. www.ehow.com web link. Words on website. How to create a market survey. This website is very good. It has a large number of links for information on creating surveys. It has video tutorials and software for creating surveys for the internet. www.statpack.com web link. Words on website. Survey and questionnaire design.